You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Breaking news we're keeping you updated on here. Golf star Tiger Woods was injured Tuesday in a car accident in Los Angeles County, authorities said. Woods had to be removed from the vehicle with the Jaws of Life tools, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department said in a statement. And Woods was taken to the hospital and suffered multiple leg injuries in the crash. He's currently undergoing surgery, according to a statement from his agent, Mark Steinberg. You can see the vehicle there sustaining major damage, according to the Sheriff's Department. That video from KABC-TV, the helicopter over the scene of Woods' accident, showing the car on its side. The front is heavily damaged, and as you can see, the airbags appear to be deployed. The wreckage appeared to be just off the side of the road on a hillside. And as we get more information, we'll share it with you, of course, hoping that Tiger is okay. And also more coverage on this over on ESPN right now, if you'd like to go there. Today is the start of a crucial time period in the NFL. The first day players can be franchise tagged. And here's why you should care. We may finally have answers on what will happen with Dak and the Cowboys. Some other huge names, Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Shaq Barrett, also on franchise tag watch. We'll be all over it for you right here on NFL Live. There's another big name, Ryan Clark, Mina Kimes, and Diana Russini here with us today. We'll also get to the latest on the Texan stance with trading Deshaun Watson later in the show. And let's get back, though, to some of these key players that we'll be watching right now, and can they be tagged? Diana, fill us in on the latest there.
Hey, Laura. So we don't expect a lot of action today. We know that window opened up. And historically, when you look at it, teams like to use as much time as they possibly can to work on long-term deals. They're not going to want to use that tag. So in the Dak Prescott case, I was told that both sides are talking, but of course we know they want to get a long-term deal done. The question is going to be is whether or not they're going to be able to come up with an agreement, which we'll get to in just a few. Then you've got Allen Robinson, and we know that the Chicago Bears really want to keep him. Allen Robinson's camp, though, is looking for somewhere in that $20 million range. Both sides trying to come up with a long-term deal, but this may be a situation where the Bears may have to let him go, and Robinson could hit free agency. And right now, because of the salary cap decrease here, that wide receiver price is around $16.5 million if they were to get tagged. So in the case of Chris Godwin, who's never seen a big payday here, the Bucs really want to keep him. They want to work on a long-term deal, but they have a player that they feel way more passionate about keeping on their roster and keeping paid and happy, and that is Shaq Barrett. Laura, we saw in the Super Bowl, the reason why this Bucs team made it as far as they did and they were able to win was because of the pressure they were able to put on a quarterback every single week. And Shaq Barrett is one of those main reasons. So I was told the Bucs are working on long-term deals for both these players. It's just going to be whether or not they're going to be able to strike a deal, Laura.
Diana, let's get back to Dak Prescott. And most players don't actually gain leverage in contract negotiations when suffering a season-ending injury, but that's clearly not the case for Dak. The Cowboys offense took a significant dip after losing Prescott this past season, averaging roughly 11 fewer points per game, over 175 fewer passing yards per game, saw their team total QBR drop by nearly 30. That's nuts. If 2020 taught the Cowboys anything, it's that replacing Prescott's going to be no easy feat. And so, Diana, I feel like this is the question that we continue to ask over and over again. Where are these two sides? But let's ask it this way today. What are the biggest factors this time around as they continue to try and negotiate contracts for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys?
Yeah, it seems that every year we have new discussions that are being brought to the table between both sides. But let's just start with the big thing, which is the terms of this contract. This is something that we heard last year. Remember, Dak Prescott's camp wanted 4 years. The Cowboys wanted five. Of course, Dak's people wanted him to get paid more money on a short-term deal, so his deal comes back up. Well, I'm told right now for the Cowboys, injury is something they are concerned about. While Dak has been rehabbing and I've been told that things are looking up and looking good, they are still having some concern. The other, of course, and we talk about this every single day, I feel like, on the show, is, of course, the decline in the cap salary or the cap room right now, right? So we know that most teams are losing about $18 million a year now. So that's a concern for the Dallas Cowboys, who we know have to spend a lot of money on fixing a lot of other issues on their team. So in terms of the franchise tag at this point right now, I'm told that that is not going to happen over the next few days. But, of course, it is on the table if the Dallas Cowboys don't want to let him go.
Yeah, Mina, can the Cowboys even afford to have Dak play on the tag this year? Because the money gets kind of dicey there.
Yeah, I think tagging him and then having him play is the worst possible outcome for Dallas. The way I see it, they have two options. One, get the long-term deal done, which, gosh, I feel like a broken record. I've been saying forever, but it would also give them some financial relief, Laura, because with a long-term deal, they wouldn't have to pay him $38 million this year as they would with the tag. They could give him a big signing bonus and use that structure to push money out into future years, potentially when the cap goes up, lower his hit to the low 20s, kind of like what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes, for example. It could be beneficial for both team and player. The other option, if the two sides can't come together on a deal, in my mind, is tag him and trade him. Whether it's an exclusive tag, if they think they can get a high first, or a non-exclusive, if they think a team would give up two firsts, which I kind of think is very possible with Dak Prescott. Dallas simply cannot tag him and then let him play, because then you're in Kirk Cousins territory where you're basically just lighting money on fire, because they'll walk away and they will get very little in return.
Yeah, that Kirk Cousins scenario, I feel like, is in the back of everybody's minds when they're trying to think about what this could look like with repeated franchise tags. Yeah. Ryan, who actually has the leverage here?
You know, you would think Dak Prescott. At least that's what Jerry Jones wants the world to think. But then the deal would be done. But when you look at this, this is going to be a game of contractual chicken, right? We're going to see who the injury affected more. Does Dak Prescott look at the injury and say, I can't risk playing on this tag again? My last play, I'm sitting on the field facing the goal line, and my cleats is facing the New York Giants sideline. Do I want to go through that again? Do I want to risk it? And if you're the Dallas Cowboys, do you want to be the team that was actually uglier than Dak Prescott's injury? So whatever team balks, right, whatever team blinks first, then that is the side that has the leverage. But if you're Dak Prescott, it seems that your feet are dug into the sand. You know exactly what you want. You know exactly where that line is. And if you believe those things, you have to stick with your guns.
See, Ryan, I don't look at it that way. I feel like Dak has all the leverage here, right? So let's say he gets tagged. He's going to make roughly $38 million, right? Life's good for him in that case, right? Then the other option is he negotiates a deal with the Dallas Cowboys, and he's made it pretty clear he wants to play there, and he's going to set the market for the quarterback position with a new deal, so then he wins again. And then the last thing would be is he would then hit free agency and make even more money. So I think in terms of the leverage, I know we're talking about injury, and it has to be part of this because we don't know if he's going to be the same player. But in terms of the contract side of this and the money, I think it favors Dak.
That's an interesting point. And guys, as you see, Ryan, go ahead.
One second, Laura. See, I think that's the difference, though. Like, I don't look at this from business, right? Yeah, the business side of it says, Dak Prescott, if everything works out well, here are your three options. The human side, right? The player side. Those of us who think that we are immortal, right? That we can do this the rest of our life. That side remembers getting carted off, crying. That side remembers Jason Garrett, Mike McCarthy standing over me. Those things are hard to forget. And so that's what I mean about the leverage. Do the Dallas Cowboys think that they can play that against Dak Prescott and say, remember what happened last time? We want you, but we want you at this level and this level only. Are you willing to take it, or will you risk being carted off again?
Yeah, and we all know that in business negotiations, they can use anything. Anything's on the table, right? And it gets sometimes ugly there. You see it on your screen right above me, about 13 days until the countdown, the deadline for teams to apply the franchise tag. We, of course, will keep you updated on all of that here. Lots of interesting scenarios. We'll get into more of those later on the show. So in an offseason that will undoubtedly be full of quarterback movement, what's going to happen with the Falcons and quarterback Matt Ryan? It's been suggested that the Falcons could draft a QB in April. We'll get to more of that in moments. But today, GM Terry Fontenot spoke, and listen to what he said.
We're going to utilize all the avenues, whether it's in free agency, whether it's at any point in the draft, and even after the draft. You know, I've been in places where we've traded for quarterbacks, and we're always looking to bring in quarterbacks. We have a really good offensive staff, and I think it's going to be attractive for it. I think quarterbacks are going to want to be here.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, they're open to all the options, right? So let's talk about this. ESPN senior draft analyst Todd McShay has five quarterbacks coming off the board in the first round of his 2021 mock draft 2.0. The Jets, you see, they're drafting Zach Wilson. Both the Panthers and Bears trading up for quarterbacks. That's drawn some attention. But how about this? McShay also has the Falcons selecting Matt Ryan's successor in Ohio State's Justin Fields, leaving many to wonder how much longer the franchise's all-time leader in passing yards and touchdowns will remain in Atlanta. So let's start with you, Diana. What are the Falcons' plans this offseason?
Yeah, Terry Fontenot has made it very clear that they know they are not in very good shape when it comes to the cap. They're over about $20 million on a cap that's already been lowered. So they know they've got issues. This is a team that is going to look very different after the draft and after free agency. At the quarterback spot, Arthur Blank has been very public about it, that he would be shocked, surprised if Matt Ryan wasn't their quarterback. But what's been really interesting is we've seen the Falcons attend different pro days of different quarterbacks, right? So we're all checking that out, looking, thinking, maybe that means they're going to go quarterback with that number four pick. But we've seen this in the past where teams like to have everyone look one way because the move that they're going to make is that way. So this could also be a play from the Atlanta Falcons trying to get attention from other teams, basically putting up a big for sale sign over the number four spot, saying, yeah, you all think we're going for a quarterback, but call us and maybe we'll trade back. So while we all think that maybe the Falcons are going to go quarterback, they may have other plans, Laura.
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially considering some teams that might be interested in that four spot and a quarterback there. Mina, how tough of a decision is this for the Falcons?
It is so tricky. I wish it was simpler and I could simply say, here's what Atlanta should do. They should draft a quarterback or keep Matt Ryan. But I can really see arguments for both sides. And it's complicated for a couple reasons. One, Matt Ryan can still play quarterback. I know he isn't coming off of his best season, but he is still at least an above-average quarterback. And financially, they really can't move on from him this year, possibly next year after June. You're looking at about a $17 million cap hit if they trade him, but it would be tough. All of that said, Laura, they are not going to be in this position again to get their quarterback of the future. One, the quarterback class this year is much better than next season. I don't think they're going to be picking at four again. And I love the fit of Justin Fields with Arthur Smith, the new head coach. Yeah. It makes a ton of sense. So I think Atlanta would be wise to at least consider drafting Fields as their potential quarterback of the future. And then if Matt is great and everything's kosher and it seems like they've bounced back, you can trade Fields next year. We've seen these assets for quarterbacks, first-round quarterbacks, get moved for a lot of value. But if he's not, then they have the guy in place, because it just doesn't seem like they're going to have this opportunity again.
Yeah, I agree with Mina on all of those points, and it is a difficult decision to make, but you have to look at it this way. We've seen the best of Matt Ryan, and it wasn't good enough. It was almost good enough, but as we like to say down here in Louisiana, in New Orleans, it was 28-3. Y'all ain't get it done, bro. And so now you start looking at Justin Fields. You look at the fit that you could have on that team with Arthur Smith, having an opportunity to sit behind Matt Ryan and learn some of those things that we've heard Todd McShay pointed out may be of concern to some teams. But you think about Justin Fields being from Georgia, being an athletic quarterback, fitting into what Arthur Smith can do as we push forward offensively, I believe that it's a great idea. And if you move on from Matt Ryan after June, as Mina was thinking about, you think there's $17 million against the cap, that's the hit. But you have a quarterback that's on his rookie deal, a quarterback that is talented, that is explosive, that if you like Dak Prescott, think Dak Prescott that can run faster and throw it farther. This could be a great pick for the Atlanta Falcons, even though it is a difficult one.
Yeah, the thing that was most intriguing about all that, you guys, to me, is thinking about Fields having a year to develop behind a veteran quarterback and to get used to a new coach and a new environment. We've seen that work out really well for a few quarterbacks. I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but it worked out really well for Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. All right, elsewhere in that division, Teddy Bridgewater seems to be unhappy with the Panthers. He unfollowed all the Panthers' social media accounts, and then this is, of course, after the Panthers have made it clear they're in the market for an upgraded quarterback, i.e. Deshaun Watson, maybe, if they could get him. Diana, what more can you tell us?
Yeah, Bridgewater's cap hit against the Panthers is a significant one, and it's kind of crazy to think that they just signed him last year. They just did this deal. And we know in 2021, when you unfollow a team, that's just like the petty way of saying, yeah, I'm seeing all the flirting, I'm seeing all the hearing. In fact, I think I heard Ryan Clark give an analogy once. It's kind of like watching your significant other like on Instagram, like other people that you don't want them to like. You get sort of offended by it all, so you might as well just unfollow and not get involved at all. So for Teddy Bridgewater, though, going forward here, he's obviously not happy. And the Panthers, from what I am told, are in the market for a quarterback. We know they've been flirting with Matthew Stafford. They're flirting with the Deshaun Watson situation if the Texans will pick up the phone. So for Teddy Bridgewater, he could potentially get cut in all this.
Wait, Ryan Clark is shaking his head really fast. We're about to go to break, but Ryan, I just have to get a comment from you.
But that's so tough, though, Laura. This man is watching his significant other put himself on ChristianMingle.com.
Oh.
That is very difficult. Of course you're going to unfollow. But I talked to Joe Brady often. We talked during the season. He loves Teddy. He loves Teddy Two Gloves. They're not trying to slide right. They're just going to wait and see and make the best business decision for the Carolina Panthers.
That's where you trade for McCaffrey.
Mina? Sorry. I'm sorry. Mina Kimes just said Christian Mingle is where you trade for Christian McCaffrey. One thing that also just happened there that I have to point out is that I think Ryan said slide right, and I have never been on any of these apps, but I'm pretty sure it's swipe right. So we're going to go to break on that. Here on ESPN that we continue to keep you updated on. Golf star Tiger Woods was injured in a vehicle rollover in Los Angeles County on Tuesday. Authorities say he had to be removed from the vehicle with the jaws of life tools. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department said in a statement, police sources told ESPN the initial report from the accident scene indicated the possibility of two broken legs and that the injuries are not thought to be life-threatening. Woods was taken to the hospital, currently undergoing surgery, according to a statement from his agent, Mark Steinberg. There's more information on ESPN right now if you want to head over there for that coverage. And we'll continue to keep you updated as we find out more. All right, let's get back to the Buccaneers. And if the Bucs are going to keep all these guys that helped them win Super Bowl 55, they've got a lot to figure out over the next couple weeks. Again, today, the first day a team could franchise tag players. What's more important? Would it be a great pass rusher in Shaq Barrett or a receiver for Tom Brady and Chris Godwin? These are the dilemmas that they face. And Godwin said this on the Pat McAfee show today.
The goal, obviously, is to get paid, right? But at the same time, I'm not stupid. Like, I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I'm going to be miserable for some years to come just for a couple extra dollars. Like, I think my happiness is paramount in all of this, you know? And part of that happiness is winning. Just having a bunch of different guys on the offensive side that can make your job a little bit easier but also give you the best chance to win is something that I'm strongly considering. You know, it's a big reason why, you know, I want to be here.
I don't know about y'all, but that sounded like Chris Godwin that wants to stay in Tampa. Now, both Shaq Barrett and Chris Godwin had a huge impact on Tampa Bay's Super Bowl run this past season. Of course, Barrett led the entire NFL in pressures and recorded a team-high 12 sacks. Godwin also made his impact, leading the Bucs with 404 yards after the catch and 81 receptions. This is important. If the Bucs decided to tag Barrett for a second straight season, it would cost roughly $19 million as opposed to using the tag on Godwin, which is projected to cost roughly $16.5 million. So, Diana, what do you sense are the Bucs' plans for both Barrett and Godwin?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Well, I can tell you, Shaq Barrett wants to break the bank. That's his quote when he spoke to the Dan Patrick Show. He's looking to get paid. So you talk about that $19 million cap hit that the Bucks would take. That becomes the starting point for a long-term deal for the pass rusher, who I'm told the Bucks really want to keep him. They want to retain him. They want to figure out a way to make this work. So in regards to Shaq Barrett, when it comes down to if they can't get a long-term deal, I was told that he'll most likely be the player that will get tagged. So where does that leave Chris Godwin, right? So let's just start with his market value. I can tell you there are a lot of teams right now watching to see what the Bucks do, because there are two teams I spoke to this morning who really like Chris Godwin and would love to have him on his team. But the Bucks also like him, but we know that that receiver room is pretty plentiful. They have a lot of deals to get done, but he could be the player if they're able to get a long-term deal done with Shaq Barrett that would get the tag. But as of right now, there's been no movement as of today, but we know, guys, teams like to use the next week or so to see if they can work out a long-term deal instead of having to use that franchise tag, Laura.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I really like Chris Godwin. I think he is one of the best free agent wide receivers, along with Allen Robinson and Kenny Galladay. I don't think Tampa should tag him or give him a big contract, purely because of how their roster is constructed. If they were to, let's say, tag him, just under $17 million, they would be the only team in the NFL spending that much money on two wide receivers, along with Mike Evans. They need to keep the defense intact, and it's a lot harder for them to rebuild or to add an edge rusher than it would be to either get a lower cost receiver to augment Evans or even draft one. Great player, just not worth it to this team in particular, in my opinion.
Yeah, man. See, this is why I don't like working with Mina on a Tuesday. On Tuesday, Mina agrees. She comes with all of these thoughts that I have the exact same thought. On Friday, she sets me up the entire Zoom meeting by not revealing any
she
of her thoughts
crazy.
Just to catch me on TV. But she's absolutely correct. When you look at Chris Godwin and the way that this season continued to progress, think about the Super Bowl, right? The Super Bowl was about Rob Gronkowski. It was about AB on a couple of plays, but it was about Leonard Fournette catching passes, running the football. This team evolved. It went from no risk it and no biscuit to making sure we put Tom Brady in the best possible place to succeed. And that wasn't with throwing the ball down the field every play. That wasn't with taking shots on 50-50 balls. And that's what Chris Godwin does. In no way am I not saying this dude's not a star. I'm saying that he is valuable. I'm saying that he does need to get paid top dollar. He just doesn't need to get it from Tampa Bay, and they don't need to give it to him.
It's such a good point, Ryan, my colleague and beloved friend,
who
I often agree with, because I think it's a good example of like how different players have different value to different teams. And it's not just about who they've already paid. You know, I mentioned Mike Evans, but it's about the nature of the scheme and the offense and, you know, where they need to allocate resources. And we saw that in Tampa as the year went on and they figured out how to get the tight ends more involved. Shocker, Tom Brady loves throwing to tight ends. You could see them going out and adding a pass-catching running back this offseason. Wide receiver is simply not where they need to concentrate value. And as far as Godwin goes, there are teams out there that would love you. Baltimore, we're going to talk about. Heck, New England, where Brady came from. They should pay him a ton of money. I get that he doesn't want to go to a bad situation. I'm sure he's looking at his fellow wide receiver free agent, Allen Robinson, and being like, I don't want what he dealt with. But there are plenty of decent situations that he can join and I think get paid. And he can have both of those things at once. Chris Godwin, you can have it all.
Somebody has like a doorbell or a dog bark.
That's my door.
Oh, that would
that
be okay.
Keeps going off. I'm so sorry.
It's the doorbell or what's going on?
Every time somebody opens my door, it happens, and I don't know why they keep opening my door. Nobody cares about Dad when he's in the back. That's on me.
Yeah, Dad's in the back. And listen, Ryan, I think you have company. All right, Diana, let's take us through a couple other names that might get consideration for a franchise tag. Start with Aaron Jones.
Yeah, nobody visits me ever. I'm like so jealous that somebody wants to hang out with Ryan right now. All right, I'm with you, Laura. Call me later. All right, let's start with Aaron Jones, right? So we know they got A.J. Dillon on this roster. And, guys, the sense I'm getting is the Green Bay Packers are going to be moving on for him. Of course, that franchise tag is always available for that next week. And in terms of what they're looking at, though, the sense I'm getting is that the Green Bay Packers are going to be moving on from their running back, who was very productive for them during the playoffs, right? So in the meantime, you have Johnny Smith in Tennessee, and Tennessee has got some cap issues as well. We talked about Atlanta before. They've got to improve their defense and paying long-term deals to tight ends. And look, they love Jonnu Smith. Those guys are tight with Jonnu in that locker room, and he's been a productive player. But I don't sense that the Tennessee Titans are going to be using the franchise tag to keep Jonnu Smith on this roster, whether or not they're we'll figure out a long-term deal. We'll figure that out. We'll learn that soon. But I don't get the sense that that'll get done.
All right, we got so much more coming your way on NFL Live. The story hasn't changed with the Texans and Deshaun Watson in a standoff that could stretch on until someone blinks. Last week on this show, Diana Russini reporting that teams that were interested in Deshaun couldn't even really get through to the Texans to even talk about making a deal for Deshaun. Like, what would it even take, right, to make an offer that would be enough for them? We don't even know that yet. So, Diana, what is the latest this week?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, I remember last week Mina thinking they have to pick up the phone. They've got to listen. We all talked about this because Deshaun Watson is not happy. But the sense I'm getting around the league continues to sort of be the same narrative, which is Houston is determined not to let him go. They want to figure out a way to make this work. We know Nick Cassero has been working behind the scenes to try to fix some of the relationship to see if it's salvageable. What they're doing, we don't know, but I know that they are working to try to do this. And the teams that I've spoken to that are interested, they want to make something happen. And teams that are desperate, teams that are looking for a quarterback, teams that have GMs and head coaches that are desperate are putting together packages, hoping that Houston will eventually give in and listen. But as of right now, Laura, Houston is sticking with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, one quick point. You know, Mina, when you think about, like, potential teams that could be interested, maybe the Bears come to mind. I mean, there's a few different scenarios. Let's talk specifically about the Bears and live in the hypothetical a little bit here. How crazy would that be?
That would be delicious. I just want you to think about it from Deshaun Watson's point of view, because from the Bears' point of view, it's a no-brainer. Obviously, they're desperate for a quarterback. He's the best quarterback available. But let me take you back to 2017, when Chicago traded up for Mitch Trubisky and overlooked a championship quarterback, and by Deshaun Watson's account, barely even looked into him. You might remember him tweeting about this in a little spicy interaction last year. So for them now to pick up the phone and go after him hard, I mean, it would be like if you were rejected in high school by a guy or girl and then saw them years later and they were aggressively coming onto you. Just the level of Schadenfreude. The Schadenfreude. That's what we could call it if that happens.
I love it.
It would be amazing. Now, from a football standpoint, that said, while I'm sure it would be very gratifying for him, I don't think it would be the best landing spot. It might be better than Houston, but it's certainly not better than Miami. They have a good defense, but they're pretty devoid of weapons. We talked about Allen Robinson leaving earlier. But if I'm Deshaun Watson, I still hope they pick up the phone and call just because it would feel so damn good.
Man, listen, it would feel good, but it would feel good to be out of Houston as well. And Houston is delusional. Houston says, you know what? We're going to hug you and squeeze you and love you so much that you won't want to leave. Well, it doesn't matter when I've been battered and abused by your actions before this. Deshaun Watson is through with this team. So when you look at Chicago, it is a better landing spot than the Houston Texans. Obviously, it's not the Miami Dolphins, but you'll have a good defense. And the one thing that Deshaun has shown us is that he doesn't need a ton of weapons. He doesn't need a great line. He doesn't actually even need a stable organization to be productive because he just came from a place like that. We don't even have to guess, y'all. We have gotten to see it. And so if this defense could play up to the level that we've seen it play the last few years, Deshaun Watson can inject some creativity, some excitement into that offense, they will compete. But I think for him, it's about being from out under Cal McNair and what the Houston Texans have been as an organization in his tenure as the starting quarterback. I believe that's what he's focused on more than anything, especially when you read some reports that said he'd actually be open to going to the Jets.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, those reports are out there. I mean, listen, here's the thing. Like, we're just looking around trying to see and make educated guesses on places that might be desperate for a quarterback, and that's where the Bears sort of come into play here. And one thing, too, I was just thinking about as we're talking about this, you know, Allen Robinson's one of these guys on the free agent market when it comes to wide receivers that really might end up staying there in Chicago if you get Deshaun Watson, right? Why would you go anywhere if you've got that guy? All right, we got more coming your way. Yeah, it is cold. Only three quarterbacks have played a season under the franchise tag since it was first implemented in 1993. Dak Prescott last season, Kirk Cousins in 2017, 2016, and Drew Brees in 2005. Now, both Cousins and Brees ended up leaving Washington and San Diego in free agency following their tag seasons, leaving many to wonder if this could be Dak's last season in Dallas if the two sides can't reach a long-term deal. So, Ryan, if they tag Dak again, should they draft a quarterback at 10? That's where they end up picking, and I think that's really interesting.
Well, you definitely shouldn't force yourself. You fool around and get that fugazi, right? You think you got something, but it's something else. You start talking in the scouting meetings and be like, well, if I turn my head this way and if I squint my left eye, it kind of looks like this dude could be a franchise quarterback. You don't want to do that. Now, if you're sitting there at 10 and you have a guy evaluated and you feel like this is a future franchise quarterback, a guy that can be an all-pro, pro bowler, that type of athlete, then you pick him. If not, you get the best available. The Dallas Cowboys have so many holes to fill. Don't put yourself in another quarterback issue or another quarterback controversy trying to make a guy your guy.
Yeah, Ryan's right. Here's the thing. We're going to spend the next 2 months talking up these prospects. And I love them. I think they're exciting. I love Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. You're going to hear them compared to Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. We're going to give these outrageous comps. When the truth is, we don't know. They don't know. Okay, the transition from college to NFL, it doesn't always work out. Ryan and I talked about this last week. I love Zach Wilson, but he's played nobody. I mean, we just don't know. We have seen Dak Prescott succeed and play at a top 10 level in the NFL. Now, again, if you're the Cowboys and you love one of them, that's great. First of all, it's very unlikely they're going to be available at 10. I think that's worth saying. Right. They're probably going to have to trade up for them. Mm-hmm. But if you fall in love with them, I get it. There is an advantage that comes with that contract. But you can also reap some financial savings by finally signing Dak to a long-term deal, moving the money around. You could lower his cap hit. And most importantly, you know who he is. You know what he's capable of. You even know where his floor is. And that knowledge has some value as well.
Yeah, I mean, you said it all show long, and we talked about it a little bit when we started with the advantages of the long-term deal for this Dallas Cowboys team because they can move the money all around and start improving in all the different positions that Ryan pointed out that they need.
Yeah.
Pass rush, corner. How about their offensive line? They went through like 6 or 7 different combinations. The only other team that I think went through that many different offensive line combinations was the Kansas City Chiefs, and we saw how awful they looked in the Super Bowl. So beefing up the offensive line. And it's crazy because we always think the Dallas Cowboys have some of the best protection in the league. They're known for having such a strong offensive line. But this is an area that actually needs to get improved. They need healthy players. They need younger guys. So that could be a place where they may want to look if they're able to figure out the quarterback situation and then go out there and get them some protection.
I'm over here marinating on the idea of the drama of if the Dallas Cowboys would trade up in the draft and draft a quarterback. Can you imagine where... Ryan's face right now would be all
Don't
of
do
our
that.
Faces.
Don't do that.
So, Ryan, we're talking about the needs of this team, and you mentioned it. Diana mentioned it. Is this a Cowboys team that's built to win now or really anytime soon?
Hell no. Hell no. And we always do that every offseason. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. We're so excited about them. Now, is this a team that can win the NFC East? Absolutely. You get Dak Prescott. You've now improved on defense with Dan Quinn and some of better coaches. You understand you're moving to something that Lawrence and Gregory can play. And so you're excited about that. But this team is not ready to win now. This team is not a Super Bowl caliber team, a Super Bowl caliber roster. So they can't think that way. They can't work in free agency that way. And they certainly can't draft that way.
I thought the Cowboys would get to the Super Bowl last year. I'm a chump. Mina Kimes, Trump. Just put that underneath me because I am not doing it again, man. Ryan's right. They're going to win the division. Like, they probably will, and that says more about the NFC East than it does about Dallas, assuming that Dak Prescott's their quarterback. And the offense could be high power and score a bunch of points. But
yeah,
in the words of my colleague, hell no, they're not a Super Bowl team compared to the Bucs and the Packers. Absolutely not. I am not making that mistake again. Shame on me.
Yeah, shame on you, you chump.
I disagree.
Yeah. Oh.
I think they can win. And Mina, you come join the chumps
Super Bowl?
Over here. I said the Tampa Bay Bucs wouldn't even make the playoffs. So come on, hang out with me.
Ooh,
in the
that's rough.
So,
you
no,
did.
I think that they can figure it out. Dak is healthy and comes back. And they can spend a little money in free agency, which I do think they're going to be buyers this free agency. I think they could be good.
Listen, I'm going to save you all from being chumps anymore. It's time for one more thing before we go. Hey, so Shailene Woodley talking about her fiance, Aaron Rodgers. Take a listen to this.
I never thought as a little girl, I was like, yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to marry someone who throws balls. Yeah. When we met also, like, I knew he was a football guy, but I didn't know, like, what kind of a football guy he was. And I'm still constantly learning. I don't get it. He's good. He's
yeah,
great.
He's
like,
really
I don't understand.
That's so funny.
Because I don't know him as a football guy. I know him as, like, the nerd who wants to host Jeopardy. You know, like, that's the dude I know.
You know, I have a suggestion for Shailene. I think she should tune into NFL Live. We'll tell you how good Aaron Rodgers is, right? Somebody? Anybody?
But you thought he's a football guy? You don't know what type of football guy?
I mean, he is a football guy. Where is the lie?
Is he a linebacker? Is he a quarterback?
You
quarterback?
Football guy.